Let us turn to the Lord in prayer. Let's pray. Father, we turn to Thee this morning in the attitude of prayer. We pray for the gracious anointing and infilling of the Holy Spirit as we come to consider Thy Word this morning. May the Word of God be written upon our hearts. Lord, I'm trusting Thee for power. Thine shall never fail. Words that Thou Thyself hast given me must prevail. We ask in Jesus' name for God's eternal glory. Amen. I want to speak this morning from the 126th Psalm, verses 5 and 6. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. The law of harvest. That's the subject this morning. The story is told of a preacher on a visit to London on one occasion. He was standing in front of Westminster Abbey. There was an elderly lady there. She was in a group of tourists who were visiting the Abbey. And the guide was showing the people around. He was explaining the history behind the Abbey. The elderly lady interrupted him and said, Young man, would you stop all this clatter for a moment and tell me one thing? Has anyone been saved here lately?" And that really is the question that should be asked of every church. Has anyone been saved here lately? Has anyone been saved here lately? Someone has said, if a man has a soul, and he has, and if that soul can be won for Christ for eternity, and it can, then the most important work in the world is to bring men and women to Jesus Christ. The greatest sit-down strike in the world is in our churches, where those who claim to be saved have never become fishers of men. We introduced you to that theme last Lord's Day morning. The Lord said, "Follow me, and I will make you to become fishers of men." Here in this text, today in Psalm 126, verses 5 and 6, we have the law of harvest. It is simple and it is sure. As we're hearing in the hymn that the Lord's servant has just sung, we will reap whatsoever we sow. We not only reap what we sow, but if you sow, then you are guaranteed to reap. If you will sow the seed of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, then you are guaranteed to reap souls for eternity. That, my friend, is the law of harvest. These verses before us today comprise God's word for God's witness. This is God's promise to the soul winner. We are told three wonderful things here in these verses of Scripture about the law of harvest. And if we practice these things, then people will be saved. We will have a harvest of precious souls for the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ said in the 4th chapter of John's Gospel, verse 35, "Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already unto harvest." May God help us in this congregation to lift up our eyes and look on the fields around about us, on the field of this world, for it is white already unto harvest. Three things that I've said this morning. First of all, the soul winner working. It says here, they that sow in tears. shall reap in joy. It says here, he that goeth forth and weepeth bearing precious seed. The psalmist compares the work of the soul winner to that of the farmer. For in both these verses, he emphasizes the sowing and the reaping. Soul winning is like farming. The farmer goes out with the seed. He casts the seed in the ground, believing it will take root and it will grow. And God wants us in all of this to be as the farmer, to be faithful and fruitful farmers, sowing the gospel seed. This tells us that soul winning is hard work. It's hard work to break up hard ground. It's hard work to fertilize, to weed, to cultivate. But it is very simple to sow the seed. And if you want to be a soul winner this morning, and the day is before you, then there are two things that you must do. First of all, you must go continuously. Look at verse 6. He that goeth forth and weepeth. Continuous activity is what is meant here. Labor is what is meant here. Continuous labor is the sense of these words. We have to go forth with the gospel seed. The number one priority of the church is not to come to the church. It is to go from the church and to share the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. This little word, go, is a very important word. It's a little word with a big meaning this morning. The Bible says, he that goeth forth. A Christian who will not go is like a ship that will not sail. It's like a plane that will not fly, a car that will not drive. We think of the little boy who got a toy car for Christmas, and it stopped working. And he took it to his father, and his father said, son, what's wrong with the car? He said, Daddy, the go is broken. And that's what's wrong with many churches today. There is no go in the church. We need to get back to that. Not only here in Martyrs, but in the Free Church and in the Christian Church in general today. Do you know that there's not one word in the Bible that commands a lost sinner to go to church? But there are verse after verse in the Bible that commands the church to go to the lost sinner. For example, the Great Commission. In Mark chapter 16 and verse 15, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. In Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. The church is to go to lost sinners. We are to go continuously. Not once or twice or three times, but go continuously. Do not be discouraged if you have gone and gone and not seen people come to Christ. For the Word of God says in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. We are to go continuously. But then there's something else here. We are to sow consistently. Bearing precious seed. Notice the words of Scripture again here. What does it mean? It means leaving a trail of seed. I can always recall on the farm where I grew up, watching my dad as a young lad going up and down the field. And in those days there was wasn't the same machinery. He was walking up and down the length of the field, sowing the seed, and he was sowing it consistently. Walking up and down furrow after furrow, just continually dropping the seed. That's the job that has been given to the soul winner, to you and I, dropping the seed here, there, and yonder. That's the job you've been doing in the Sunday school this morning. And we encourage the Sunday school teachers in dropping those seeds into the hearts of the boys and girls in the Sabbath school in the morning and in the afternoon. And also in the children's work. Dropping the little seeds into the hearts of the boys and girls. It's not the farmer's job to force the harvest. It is the soul winner's job just to sow the seed. As you well know, seed has only one purpose. It is to be sown. Seed that is not sown is absolutely useless. We are to take every opportunity that God lays across our path to drop the gospel seed into somebody's heart. I was hearing recently of just someone who picked up a gospel tract that was left on a bus. It was sat down in the seat by a person who had been sitting there, and someone came into the bus and lifted that gospel tract and began to read it. And through that gospel tract, they were converted to Christ. The power of the printed page, the power of the sown seed of the Word of God. You think of the life of Christ and look at the life and ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was always going. He was always sowing. Read John chapter 4. A very familiar passage of God's Word. And there the Lord Jesus Christ was engaged in sowing. He was dropping the seed. And of course that woman of Samaria was wonderfully converted through the conversation she had with the Lord Jesus Christ. He was dropping the seed. Are you dropping the seed? The seed is the Word of God. Look at Matthew chapter 13, the parable of the sower. And this seed is guaranteed to bring a harvest. In the book of Isaiah chapter 55, verses 10 and 11, the 55th chapter of Isaiah, verses 10 and 11. Listen to these words of Scripture. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, maketh it bring forth and bud, may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please. It shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. God has promised that his seed will prosper. His word will prosper. God will give the increase. One soweth and another reapeth, the Lord said. Paul said, Paul soweth and Apollos watereth, but God giveth the increase. This is precious seed. The incorruptible seed of the Word of God. This is powerful seed. Remember the words of Hebrews 4 and 12. The Word of God is quick. That means it's living. It's powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of joints and marrow. And it is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. This is precious seed. This is powerful seed. This is preeminent seed. The seed of the Word of God is the most preeminent seed of all. This is productive seed because it produces a harvest. I was reading a story of a Christian man. His wife was an atheist. And she was very ill. And he said to the preacher, I want you to go to see my wife. But I don't think she'll receive you very well. Because she doesn't believe in God. And the preacher said, well, I'll go. And so he went. And he began to speak to her about the things of God. She said, I don't believe in God. I don't believe in those things. He said, I want you to read John's Gospel. And he left a copy of John's Gospel with her.
And he went away. And the next Sunday mornings he was out of church. And he was appealing for people to come to Christ. And she came down the aisle. And she said, "Preacher, I want to be baptized." He said, "Well, you can't be baptized unless you've been saved." She said, "I didn't get past the first chapter." You see, as she read John's Gospel, chapter 1, she was saved. She didn't get past the first chapter. She was gloriously converted to the Lord Jesus Christ. The precious seed. The productive seed of the Word of God. You may be here this morning. You may be listening to the service unsaved. Without Christ, thank God, that seed can enter into your heart even today. It can germinate. It can produce a harvest. Even to life eternal, as far as you're concerned. And you can go from this service saved by the grace of God. The soul winner working. The second thing this morning is the soul winner weeping. Go back to Psalm 126. "They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed." You see, soul winning, my friend, is not. The reason why we do not witness more than we do is because we do not care more than we do. You think of the football match. And you think of the cheering that goes on there. And even the crying when the team loses. I've been doing a lot of crying recently because my team hasn't been doing too good. Well, I don't take it that seriously. But people do cry when their team loses. Get very upset. Need the church to be weeping. Need God's people to be weeping. We tell our children not to cry. There's something wrong when we don't cry. It ought to be natural for a church to weep over a lost world that is going to hell. Are you weeping over this district, my friend? Around about the streets here at Martyrs? Are you weeping over a world that is going to hell? Are you weeping over your family that's going to hell today? We need to weep over the erring. Lift up the fallen. Tell them of Jesus, the mighty to see. Someone has aptly described our day as the generation of the unbowed head and the unbended knee and the unbroken heart. The great preacher F.B. Meyer said this, "I believe that there's one thing which pierces the Master's heart with unutterable grief. It is not the world's iniquity, but is the church's indifference." The problem with the church of this modern day is that we're filled with technology, but we're empty of tears. Oh, may God give us the brokenness today. Even as we contemplate this gospel mission and contemplate these weeks that are before us here to witness and to work for the Lord Jesus Christ, that we might have a broken heart. I was reading of McSheehan, one of my favorite characters is Robert Murray McSheehan. Someone was visiting in St. Peter's Church after McSheehan died, and the sexton was taking them through, showed him the pulpit, showed him the pastor's chair and the pulpit cushion, and said, "Here's where my pastor wept as he preached. Here are the tear stains on this pulpit cushion, where he wept over the souls of men and women. Here's where my pastor prayed and wept over souls before he went to the pulpit." May God give us a broken heart this morning. I was reading the story of a woman who was blind because the tear ducts in her eyes dried up. And no matter how broken her heart was and how crushed her spirit was, she couldn't cry. As a result, she eventually lost her sight. But a lot of us today are spiritually barren and blind because we have lost the ability to weep. I'm not talking about sentimental weeping, my friend. I'm not talking here about someone turning on the tears for some reason of wanting to be seen or wanting to be sympathized with. I'm talking here about brokenness. May God give us that brokenness to weep over souls the soul winner weeping. But I suggest to you, thirdly and finally this morning, the soul winner worshiping. One of the highest forms of worship we can give to God is when we share the gospel of His beloved Son and try to bring people into His kingdom. God promises a special blessing to anyone who will worship Him through obedience. In planting the seed of the gospel in the fertile fields of the lost world. You'll notice here in verses 5 and 6 of the Psalm 126, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Here's the soul winner's rejoicing. The greatest joy of the Christian life is when we win people to the Lord Jesus Christ. See, it's Spurgeon, the great preacher, he said, even if I were utterly selfish and had no care for anything but my own happiness, I would choose, if I might under God, to be a soul winner. For never did I know perfect, overflowing, unutterable happiness of the purest, most ennobling order until I first heard of someone who had sought and found the Savior through my witness. No young mother so rejoiced over her firstborn child. No warrior was so thrilled over a hard-won victory. Oh, the joy of the soul winner. May God give us that joy today. We ought to go. And we ought to sow. And when we sow, we will grow. And as we grow, we will glow. In other words, there will be rejoicing. The soul winner's rejoicing. It mentions the soul winner's reaping here. Reaping in joy. Bringing his sheaves with him. It's a sure harvest. Because God guarantees it. Just as God has guaranteed that there'll be, as the earth remaineth, as long as the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter shall not cease. So God has guaranteed the harvest for His kingdom. It is a sweet harvest because it brings rejoicing. It is a satisfying harvest because we shall reap souls for Christ. Oh, may there be a reaping in this church. There's been much sowing by the people who go out faithfully week by week on outreach work. And over the past weeks there's been the sowing of the invitations to the mission. But the gospel included. People have gone out. The young people went out again Friday night. We thank them for that. And we thank all the people who have gone out in the Lord's name. We're looking now for the reaping. And God has promised there will be reaping. The soul winner's reward. Look at verse 6. Bringing his sheaves with him. When harvest time came in Bible days, the farmer would cut the grain. He would tie it in bundles. He would lay it in the path to be carried to the threshing floor. God has called us into the field of this world to the harvest. To bring lost souls. To bring the gospel sheaves. To tie them up with the cords of His grace. Get them ready to go into the great harvester. To lay them at His feet. The hymn writer penned those words, "Go then ever weeping, sowing for the Master. Though the loss sustained, our spirit often grieves. When our weeping's over, He will bid us welcome. We shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves." May God give us that, bringing in of the sheaves in this mission. And in the work of God here in martyrs in days to come. I was reading a story of a preacher who was holding an evangelistic campaign in one of the great cities of America. And after the finish of that campaign, there was a young woman waiting to speak with him after the final service. She stood there waiting to speak to the preacher. And after everyone was gone, she approached him and she said, "Do you remember being in such and such a place? And you and another gentleman came to our little shack and knocked at the door, give us an invite to a gospel mission." He said, "I remember that. There was my mother and me," she said, "in that little shack. And she said, here I am today because I listened at that gospel mission. And I heard the word of God. And years after I came to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And here I am today, a result of that mission. In due season we shall reap, if we faint not." This is what the law of harvest is all about. May God help us, each and every one, to keep that law of harvest, to go working, to go weeping, and to go worshipping until Jesus comes or calls. As the scripture says, "Occupy till I come." Because remember this, it's only what's done for Jesus will last. You know, people are laying up in store for years to come. People are concerned about what they're going to leave behind. But the truth is, we're going to leave it all behind. We're going to leave it all behind. Like the wee fella walking behind the funeral, and they were all talking, you know, as they do, behind the funeral cortege and about the person that died. "How much did he leave?" And the wee fella piped up, he said, "He's left it all." And so he had. And so will you. And my friend, if you're not saved today, when you leave this life, you will be lost forever in a Christless eternity. I urge you today to seek the Lord while He may be found, to call upon Him while He is near. And if you are saved, become involved in the work of the harvest. May the Lord bless His word to our hearts. Let's pray. Father, indelibly write upon every heart the truth of Thy word this morning, for Jesus' sake. Amen.